St. Nicholas!
Mr. Frost, good of you to come, my old friend.
Of course, of course. This is a most dire moment for Tina, for all of Arctos, really.
You are spot on. We must have this conversation now, for such matters cannot receive delayed attention.
So we agree that a shadow has come to the region, to Tina. Do we know what sort of shadow it is?
It is she who calls herself Ginger.
And her little dog, too.
Yes, yes, yes. Maxine accompanies her mistress.
But why a succubus and an imp? Why now?
Mr. Frost, why not now? It is the zeitgeist, the spirit of this epoch. It matches the work of all that the Prince of the Air has wrought among the peoples below. So bold has the darkness become that Ginger dares to show her face here.
Did you hear about the state of Patapan, the railway man?
Pat, the conductor?
One and the same.
Indeed. After we have completed our discussions, I will go to see him and see if we cannot break the spell.
Nicholas, what do you say? Breakfast?
Not yet.
Coffee, then?
Always.
With?
With cream!
Good morning, Nicholas!
Good morning, Frost!
Good morning, Tina! A booth, if you please, and coffee for both.
With cream!
And Dinah? Could you turn up the radio, please? We'll want to keep our counsels to ourselves, Mr. Frost.
Indeed, sir, indeed.
Welcome back, Tina. It's Mike Thunder, your AM host. I absolutely wish you and all of Arctos a double portion of Advent warmth and love. Remember that love conquers all. It casts away fear. It brings peace. We are all aware that a strange shadow is moving amongst us, Tina Towners. I guess I'm just trying to say, stay cool, be warm. By the power of the season, may we weather the storm. We've done it before, Tina. You all know how this goes. Coming up, our own sled dog and one of their Christmas favorites. But first, this message from Pobble's Tavern and Inn.
Good people of Tina, friends, comrades, family. This is your fellow townsman, Pavel Ivanovich. Come visit our most comfortable and gregarious tavern and inn. Where else along ancient road will you drink absolute best vodka? Where else along eastern side of the ancient road, not the western side, will you find such comforts and be welcomed like this family that you are? Come, come friends, and we'll see you tonight at Pavel's Tavern and Inn.
1400 on the AM dial, KARC The Circle.
The final Christmas.
The sun is coming up on our childhood nativity.
The final Christmas.
The star traverses all the sky, forever guiding.
The final Christmas.
Pull the curtain up and it need never be brought down again.
The final Christmas.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Frost and Mr. Nicholas. We are all, of course, quite upset by the state of our dear friend Patapan.
Of course, Gregory. Not that it's important, but do I understand that Patapan is a nickname for the conductor due to the sound the transarctic rail train makes as it approaches Tina?
It is important, Mr. Frost. It reminds us in this moment of how fond we are of our dear conductor, Patapan.
Pat? Pat? Conductor Patapan. Dear fellow, can you hear me?
Director's notes. Camera swivels around the perimeter of the room. Pat, Gregory, and Frost are seated around a large rectangular table. Pat's chair is pushed away from the table, and Nicholas is addressing him straight on. Pat's countenance resembles that of a hauled king salmon.
Pat! Pat! Conductor Patapan, dear fellow, can you hear me?
The conductor moans. A dribble of white foam trickles from one corner of his mouth. His head flops about to one side, and he snarls at Nicholas.
Christmas is a lie.
Oh, dear heavens!
It sucks.
Nicholas takes a broad step backward away from Pat and announces,
Patapan the railway man, I am going to try to help you escape this shadow. Are you with me?
The poor conductor sputters and hisses.
I hate you.
But he is not looking at any individual in the room. He is looking at someone physically absent who nonetheless causes his torment.
I hate you.
Yes, yes, very good. I understand. Was it Ginger? Was Ginger here and did she do this to you?
Pat wags his head meaninglessly, but Nicholas accepts it as an affirmation.
Do you know why, Pat? Do you know why she is doing this to people?
Pat seethes through his teeth, as he did before in the presence of the succubus.
Stop Christmas from coming. Stop good. Stop holy. No holy night. Never again. Never more.
At last, Patapan is able to directly lock eyes with Nicholas. There in his eyes is a ferocious plea for deliverance.
I will help, dear fellow. I will help.
Nicholas whispers with assurance. He then draws backward from Pat. Nicholas wears a long western trench coat made of unknown furs. With both hands, he draws the front of his coat apart, revealing a large three-barred cross hanging against his chest. He holds his hands open and outstretched, as if somebody was going to pour something into them, and then quietly, oh so quietly, he begins humming. Both Gregory and Frost stand up and back away from the table until their backs are against the wall. As Nicholas hums, two circles of light begin swirling about his hands, both of the purest orate hue, intense and yet subtle.
I'm going to bring the light to you, Conductor Pat. I promise not to hurt you, but it may be unpleasant.
The suffering conductor seems to understand. Without touching Pat, Nicholas brings each fistful of light to each of Pat's temples. Suddenly, Pat throws back his head and begins screaming as if in agony. Nicholas remains nonplussed. Patiently, even lovingly, he brings both hands together, left over right, and presses them against the chest and into the soul of Patapan. Nicholas begins to chant. The entire countenance of Pat slumps into his chair. He breathes easy, and after a moment, he looks up at Nicholas and then the rest of those gathered and says,
Christmas is real, guys, and I don't hate nobody. I really don't.
Across town, another creature cries out in torment, for she perceives that a piece of her power has been conquered.
Добрый вечер, мой малыши. Good evening. You're listening to Jack Hillhan on KARC 1400, Chinatown, first village of the Arctos region. Here we are now, Wednesday the 23rd of December, 2 days before Western Christmas and little over 2 weeks before Orthodox Christmas. How wonderful to spend it all with you, my dorigi. Now, our folklore for this evening is old Russian tale of peasant and the bear. Once upon a time, a certain peasant lost his wife, then he lost his other relatives, and then he was left alone with no one to help him in his home or his fields. Ah, the podvig. So, he went to Bruin and said, Look here, Bruin. Let's keep house and plant our garden and sow our corn together. And Bruin asked, But how shall we divide it afterwards? How shall we divide it? Said the peasant. Oh, well, you take all the tops and let me have all the roots. All right, answered Bruin. So they sowed some turnips and they grew beautifully. And Bruin worked hard and gathered all the turnips and then they began to divide them. And the peasant said, The tops are yours, aren't they, the Bruin? Yes, he answered. So the peasant cut off all the turnip tops and gave them to the Bruin and then sat down to count the roots. And Bruin saw that the peasant had done him down. And he got huffy. Lay down in his den and started sucking his paws. You know how they do. Well, the next spring, the peasant again came to see him and said,
Look here, Bruin, let's work together again, shall we? And Bruin answered, Right-o, only this time, mind, you can have the tops, but I'm going to have the roots. Very well, said the peasant, and they sowed some wheat, and when the ears grew up and ripened, you never saw such a sight. Then they began to divide it, and the peasant took all the tops with the grain and gave Bruin the straw and the roots. So he didn't get anything that time either. And Bruin said to the peasant, Well, goodbye. I'm not going to work with you anymore. You're too crafty. And with that, he went off down the forest. This is lesson for us all, Dorothy. You may be cunning and worldly wise, but all this power will not bring you happiness. Friendships like what we have, dearest Kalinka, dearest Taina. So be excellent to one another.
Ginger paces her hotel room frantically. Maxine watches from the bed, as always sitting on pins and needles, subject to the malicious caprice of her mistress.
Something is happening, Maxine. Somebody is tampering with my work here. I will have his throat.
The evil succubus reaches into the thin air before her. Two fists, one atop the other, as if to throttle somebody by the throat. She struggles, but all at once her hands are thrown apart. Sensing the import of this loss, she screams into the darkness of the Arctic winter.
Ah, how good it is, Chinatown, to have all of you. All like brothers and sisters, huge family. And so that for us, the darkness of the Arctic winter is not so much hardship as it is opportunity to love all that much more. As famed little boy of Russian tale once observed, Da blagoslovit nas vekh Bog. God bless us, everyone.
Join us next time for the exciting conclusion to the pilot episodes of the Arctos Chronicles. Thank you.